Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
And the first pitch drilled in the air, deep left field. It's got a chance. 3-run homer, Ian Happ.
That is drilled left field. That's back and it's gone. It's gone. Ian Happ with a rocket into the left field bleachers.
This is a deep drive to left in the corner. It's got a chance. Gone. Cubs go back to back. Ian Happ, an opposite field home run to left.
It's different. You go through spring, you don't play every single day. You're kind of every other. You're working on stuff. You know, left-handed, I never quite got it right during spring training. It never quite felt like it clicked. And then, you know, you're trying to, you get those back-to-back games and you're trying to just see the ball and make good decisions and get to a point where you feel like you're in a good position to hit. So that's kind of part of the first week, is getting back in that rhythm of playing baseball every day, going to the park every day, going through your routine and getting that feeling like it's supposed to be.
And now it's time for Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Oh yeah, it is. Long time no talk, Chicago. How you been? With you for the next 3 hours. Those highlights courtesy of, well, The Score. We are your home for Chicago Cubs baseball. And then you heard Ian Happ talking about his hot start to the season with Marshall Harris and Russ Dorsey on the midday show here on The Score. Like I said, Rami Makhlouf with you for the next 3 hours. I got Grant Leader on the other side of the glass helping me put this whole thing together. Grant, how are you this evening, young man?
I'm doing good. A little tired, but we're doing good. We're chugging along.
Yeah, you're a busy dude. You're a busy dude. You're all over the place today, and I've been there. I've done that. I already hosted a sports talk radio show today. So
hey, there you go.
You know, we're all burning the candle at both ends, but happy to be here and happy to be talking with Michael Cirami. Talk some Cubs with him from Bleacher Nation coming up at about 6:40 later this hour. Sammy P, who hosts the Bear Bets Pod, he'll join me to talk about the Illini and the Final Four at 7:25. And James Fagan, who covers the White Sox for Sox Machine, he'll be here coming up at 8 o'clock. So we got it all covered for you this evening. And when I'm not talking to those fine gentlemen, I want to talk to you, the Score listener, at 312-644-6767. And as always, at least for the last 3-4 weeks or so, Grant, if I give out the wrong numbers, if I give out the numbers for the station that I work for in Milwaukee that I host a daily show for, $5 to your Venmo, young man. I was perfect last time we worked together, but if I'm not perfect tonight, little cash in your pocket.
Yeah, you were good. You were good last time, but I'm kind of hoping for a little bit of money in my Venmo account today.
Well, I'm trying to.
I don't want you to mess up, though. I'm not trying to make you mess up.
I mean, you're hoping I do a little bit, just
a little bit, just once, and then
extra bucks.
Yeah, that's it.
But I want to start off the evening, like I said, talking with you, the Score listener, talking little Cubs with you here on your home for Cubs baseball at 312-644-6767. And two Cubs questions out of the gates for you, and I'll take your calls and text. What do you know about the Cubs after 1 week? If there's anything you can say you know about a baseball team after 1 week. And then who else would you like to see the Cubs lock up to a long-term contract after PCA and Nico Hoerner have been taken care of here in the last few days? 312-644-6767. If you want to get into either of those questions or that conversation on the Cubs, jump on the Score evening show with me, Rami Makhlouf, here on a Thursday night. What do you know about the Cubs after 1 week? I'll answer that question first while I wait for y'all to line up on the phone lines or send your text to 312-644-6767. It's hard to say you know anything in a 162 game, 6 month long season that you know anything about any baseball team. I think anything that you know at this point is something that you were pretty sure of. And then the way that the season started, you're like, all right, okay, cool. I was pretty sure that they could do this. And now after seeing it, even in a small sample size, they've kind of confirmed my belief. And the one thing that I'm pretty sure of when it comes to the Chicago Cubs, actually, you know what? I'll start with something that doesn't really have anything to do with the Chicago Cubs, but does in a roundabout way because they play in the same division. Dude, the Brewers ain't going nowhere. Like, I know a lot of the projections and predictions that came out preseason had the Cubs winning the division, some even running away with the division, because the Brewers made some moves in the offseason, trading away some of their more proven players, namely Freddie Peralta, their ace, and Caleb Durbin, who was their starting third baseman and a Rookie of the Year candidate last year, to the Boston Red Sox. But one thing about the Milwaukee Brewers, and I see it up close doing the show that I do on our sister station, The Fan, up in Milwaukee, is that even when you don't really see it on paper, it's there. Like, they until further notice, until it's not, they got some kind of secret sauce or like magic pixie dust. They're going to be there. They're going to be there. They're in first place right now, off to a 5-1 start. I know a lot of people thought that the Reds and or the Pirates could make some noise in the division, and I saw a bunch of projections that had one of those two teams finishing second to the Chicago Cubs. Almost every projection I saw had the Cubs winning the division, and I'm not saying that's not going to happen. I picked the Cubs to win the division. But I'm telling you right now, one thing I know after week one of the Major League Baseball season and the Cubs season is that the Brewers are not going to go anywhere. And they are going to be the team that you're going to have to beat for the division, despite the subtractions they made, for lack of a better term, in the offseason. And I don't think that the Reds or the Pirates are going to be any sort of force to be reckoned with. Maybe like a thorn in the side of the Cubs and the Brewers as the season goes on. Maybe they get a couple more games in head-to-head matchups between those teams as the season goes on. But the Brewers are the team that the Cubs are going to have to edge out for an NL Central title. So that's one thing I know about the Cubs after 1 week, is that the Brewers are the team that you're going to have to contend with and overcome to win the division. That I'm convinced of. Like I said, it's one of those things that I was pretty sure of before the season started, and with the start that they're off to, now I know that it is going to be the Cubs and the Brewers in this division. And once again, all the projections, all the predictions about the Milwaukee Brewers were wrong. Again, as they buck those trends seemingly every season, as they've won 3 straight division championships and made the playoffs 7 out of the last 8 years. So that's one thing I know about the Cubs after 1 week, is the Brewers are the team you got to deal with throughout the course of the season if you're trying to win the division. What do you know about the Cubs after 1 week of baseball? 312-644-6767. But about the Cubs in particular, and about them, is I know this team is going to pitch, man. And you might be saying, how do you know that after just 1 week? Because I was pretty sure that was the case, especially the starting rotation before the season started. And here we are, one turn and one start through the rotation, as Matthew Boyd has taken the mound twice. And his first outing on opening day, obviously, there were some rocky moments there. He racked up the strikeouts, but also racked up the earned runs in that first start of the season on opening day, but came out pretty dominant yesterday. And then you look at the rest of the Cubs rotation, and Cade Horton, Edward Cabrera, and Jameson Taillon were pretty lights out as you're going to ask a starter to be in their first start of the season, where you're not going to stretch them too long, although you got 6 out of Cabrera and 6-plus out of Cade Horton. In the modern game, that's a nice long outing for a starting pitcher. And even with Shota, like, I know there's a lot of consternation and debate and people upset that the Cubs brought him back on the qualifying offer. But look, man, 5 innings, 4 runs, and he was just a few pitches away from it not even being that bad. If Shota Imanaga is doing that and he's the worst pitcher in your rotation, you got a pretty good rotation, man. And Justin Steele is going to be back, we think, within the first couple months of the season. So as far as the starting rotation goes, like I said, I was pretty sure that this team was going to be pretty good in that department, and this first week has all but confirmed that for me. I did have some questions about the bullpen and how effective they would be after an overhaul in the offseason. But at the same time, I really like the arms that they went and got in the offseason in Hunter Harvey and Hobie Milner and Phil Maton. I thought those were some good pickups. And you were bringing back Caleb Thielbar and Daniel Palencia going back to the World Baseball Classic has looked absolutely dominant. And you haven't been without your hiccups from your bullpen and your relievers either. But I've seen enough from them, and I just have enough faith in Tommy Hottovy and the Cubs' whole pitching coaching staff and Craig Counsell's handling of a pitching staff that the bullpen has some good arms and they'll get the best out of those arms. So after 1 week, as far as the Cubs go, I'm pretty sure, I know, if you can know anything after 1 week of baseball, the Cubs are going to pitch. The Cubs are going to pitch. And if this first week is any indication, another thing I know is, man, Ian Happ, who you just heard there in the open of the show, he might be on. Now, this I'm not as certain about because there's some inconsistency sometimes with an Ian Happ, but he looks like he's locked in and in a contract year, maybe set to have kind of a career year here, as he has 3 home runs, 5 RBI, and a 946 on OPS through 5-6 games of baseball. Ian Happ, again, he's always pretty good and had a 4 WAR last year. I know there was the consistency wasn't quite there, and there were some real lulls in his production last year, but you get a 4 WAR out of a guy in a season, that's a pretty good ball player. And I think he's set, again, contract year, he's set to, I think, at the very least match that, if not surpass that, and have himself a career year. And he should have had 4 home runs. That ball on opening day, that was an absolute bomb on any other day, but the wind blowing out, I think the number I read cost him 113 feet, or blowing in, I should say, cost him 113 feet on that fly ball that landed harmlessly in the left fielder's glove in shallow left field. But I really like what I'm seeing from Ian Happ early this season, and I guess I can't say I know, as I'm asking you, what do you know about the Cubs after 1 week? I'm pretty sure that dude is about to put up a career season at the plate or damn close to it. And that brings me to the second question that I want to ask Cubs fans at 312-644-6767. Who do you want to see them lock up next? Because you have obviously locked up two of the guys that we were all sort of clamoring for to get them under contract in Ian Happ and Pete Crow Armstrong. And the PCA thing, there wasn't the urgency there with it like there was with Nico Horner, but you would have just liked that out of the way and sort of not have that in the back of PCA's mind. And you got both of them, you got them both done. You got them both done, and they're going to be Cubs now for a good long time. And looking at those contracts and looking at the other contracts that the Cubs have in place and throwing in this little wrinkle from Buster Olney of ESPN, who tweeted out just a short while ago, there's an expectation among many industry sources that the aggressiveness of some teams to sign players will continue, with the anticipation that if there is a salary cap in the future, any deal signed before December 1st might have to be grandfathered into the next system. So while in a lot of seasons, and we've heard with Ian Happ and his representatives and others, that the deadline is kind of opening day to get a deal done, and players and teams don't really like to talk contract during the season because it can be a distraction and all that. This season might be an exception to that because of the upcoming CBA and the fact that these contracts signed before December 1st might get grandfathered in to the whatever the new system is. And if there is a cap and a floor in that new system, that these deals will not count against a cap, or at least not count fully against a cap, and will be grandfathered in. But you now look at sort of the core of this Cubs team who's under contract after the Horner and PCA extensions. And it looks like the timeline for this iteration of the Chicago Cubs is between now and like 2030-ish. As you look at the deal Alex Bregman signed, you look at the Nico Horner deal, Dansby Swanson's deal is through 2029. A few other guys like Daniel Palencia, they have team control of him through 2030. Cade Horton, you have under contract through 2030, or contractual control through that point. And the PCA deal goes, well, farther than any of them. That goes to 2032, and he's young enough at 24 years old that he could be part of this and the next core for the Chicago Cubs, assuming that he meets expectations and hits his ceiling or comes anywhere close to it. He kind of exceeds all of this. And the Nico Horner deal goes past this as well. They got him through 2032. So looking at the guys that they have under contract right now, their age, their contract situation, and trying to figure out who else fits in that timeline. And the first and obvious answer to the question of who would you like to see the Cubs lock up to a long-term contract next is Ian Happ. And looking at his contract, he is a free agent after this year. He is 31, almost 32 years old, and is making $19 million. Now, fun fact, since 2022, Fangraphs calculated Happ's annual contributions to be worth $29.7 million, $25.9 million, and $28.5 million, and $22.4 million in the last 4 years. So he has exceeded the value of the last contract that the Chicago Cubs gave him. But you'd assume that the next contract is going to be somewhere, if he's going for the value that he's given the Cubs here in the last 4 years, somewhere in that $25 to $29 million per year range. And that seems like a lot for a guy who's approaching 32 years old. But the other thing that you got to factor into this, Seiya Suzuki, basically the same age and also a free agent after this year, so potentially two holes opening up in the outfield. I only see one prospect on their top 10 list who seems close to major league ready, and that's Alcantara. And you look at the free agent market outside of Ian Happ and Seiya Suzuki, and like the top names are Randy Arozarena, Trent Grisham, Dalton Varsho. Like if you bring, let's say you bring one of those guys in instead of an Ian Happ, you're rocking the boat in terms of clubhouse chemistry. And are you really getting better? I think you have to bring back one of Ian Happ or Seiya Suzuki, if not both. If not both of those guys, I think you have to bring one of those back. And if it's up to me, because of the defense, the gold glove level defense that you get from an Ian Happ, I think Ian Happ is the answer on who you want to lock up next. But I got some other candidates as well. And I want to know who you would like to see the Cubs lock up and give that contract extension next, as it appears a possibility with the report from Buster Olney and others that there may be more in-season signings and contract extensions this year with the CBA looming and a possible salary cap looming and these deals signed this year being grandfathered into that new deal. Is it obvious? Is it obvious that Ian Happ is the next guy you lock up? And also the first question I ask you, what do you know about the Chicago Cubs after 1 week of baseball. 312-644-6767 if you want to get in on the conversation. Like I said, I have some other extension candidates for the Chicago Cubs who maybe aren't so obvious, but I'd like to hear from you, the Cubs fan, the Score listener, right here on Score Evenings with me, Rami Makhlouf, and back right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Pete, how does it feel to be one of the official faces of the franchise now? And Jed, how important is it to have faces for a franchise?
Yeah, I want to keep a well-respected organization well-respected, and I think the national representation is important, and then I think you saw a little bit of it in Tokyo when we went last year, how many people supported us. It's something that I'm going to take a lot of pride in, being responsible for upholding the good name of the organization, and I got good people to learn from, so I'm set up to succeed here, and yeah, it's something I'm going to take a lot of pride in, and I hope I can look back 6 years from now and be very proud of that.
There's PCA on Marquee talking about the fact that he wants to be the face of the franchise for the Chicago Cubs after he signed that big extension a few days ago that'll keep him in a Cubs uniform through 2032. I had two Cubs questions for you to open the show. Rami Makhlouf with you on the Score Evening Show, and you can get in on the conversation at 312-644-6767. One, what do you know about the Cubs after 1 week of baseball? I said two things I know is the Brewers are the team they're going to have to contend with in the division, no matter what the preseason predictions and projections say. And two, this team is going to pitch. This team is going to pitch. The lineup hasn't quite woken up yet, and we saw them struggle to score runs in the second half of last year, so I'm going to need to see that. A lot of good players in that lineup, but I'm going to need to see that perform consistently before I go that far. But I was pretty sure this team was going to pitch, and after the first week, they've all but confirmed that for me. And the second question I had for you was, who would you like to see be the next guy to get locked up to a contract extension after they took care of PCA and Ian Happ here in the last few days? 312-644-6767, or took care of PCA and Nico Horner, not Ian Happ. I said I'd like to see them get Ian Happ locked up and taken care of. This text from the 217 says, okay, man, I can't listen to any more of your Happ extension talk. He does enough to not get traded. If he was a great piece, he'd be locked already. Wait till later in the season when he has a 3-for-25 or 0-for-the-weekend. Cool, you're a Fangraph guy, but I watch every game. You just spew off stat and projections. Cut it out, man. I also watch every game, and numbers don't lie. The numbers do not lie about the type of player that Ian Happ is. And even if you're not the biggest Ian Happ guy, and I said, like, I the inconsistency is the one thing about Ian Happ that is a deterrent to me if I'm thinking about signing him to some kind of contract. The inconsistency is a little maddening, and he does have those 0-for-the-weekend or 3-for-25 stretches, as the texter put it. And so I get where you're coming from, but over the course of a 162-game season, he's a damn good ball player, especially with the glove that he brings in left field. And on top of that, I gave you your other options. Like, I gave you the other options. If you let Happ and Suzuki walk this offseason, as they are both free agents, you have one guy in the minors who seems close to major league ready as far as outfielders go, and that's Alcantara. And then the other top outfielders on the market are Randy Arozarena, Trent Grisham, and Dalton Varsho. Like, do you want those guys over Ian Happ? Or is... Because those are your options. If you're not bringing both of those guys back, or I should say one of those guys back, and maybe you're saying you'd like to keep Seiya Suzuki over Ian Happ, and you can make that argument. I would listen to that argument, but I'm not for this window, and that's the kind of the point of this discussion, that I think there is a window right now with the extensions that they gave and the other contracts that were already in place and some of the younger players that are already in place. I think you're in a window now to like 2030, maybe 2031 for this core of guys to compete. And in that window, it's kind of what I screamed about the Bears the last time I was on these airwaves. When you're in a championship window, I don't want to see steps back anywhere on the depth chart. I don't want to see downgrades anywhere on the depth chart. And I have a pretty good feeling that if you don't bring back one of Happ or Seiya, and maybe both, you're taking a step back at one of your outfield position or downgrading one of your outfield positions. And that's just not something I really want to do. So, like, I get the frustration with Ian Happ. I do. But what are your options? How do you get better? This texter from the 815 says, that last guy sounds like this guy that went in on me on Facebook the other day because I mentioned him leading the team in homers so far. And this text from the 630 says, by Cubs Park, does he mean Wrigley Damn Field, LOLO? Did I say Cubs Park? Did I say that? Grant Meter, I don't think I said Cubs Park, did I?
I don't know, okay. But nobody who's a Cubs fan ever calls it Cubs Park.
I don't think I called it Cubs Park. If I did.
I have to check the Cubs card if they call
tape.
That.
Check the tape. Shame on me if I did, but I'm pretty sure I did not because I wouldn't. I said before, and we're going to talk with Michael Cerami about all this and more when it comes to the Chicago Cubs in just a few minutes. There are other candidates for extension. I think outside of Ian Happ or Seiya Suzuki, I think you look at Michael Busch. He has a few years left of arbitration. He has, I think, four more. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Four more years of team control, but maybe you lock him up beyond those 4 years and get a little bit of a discount. I'd love to see Michael Busch locked in at just 28 years old. I think he fits perfectly in this window. And then a couple of pitchers, and it might seem with one too soon and the other too risky, I might go ahead and lock up Cade Horton, and if Justin Steele comes back and shows me he's healthy and can pitch at the level we've seen him pitch at before that December 1st deadline, as Buster only mentioned, teams maybe making being a little bit more aggressive and re-signing their own players to get these contracts grandfathered into whatever the new CBA and any potential salary cap grandfathered into that. Like it makes sense to go ahead and do that, and you have until December 1st for obviously December 1st the season will be well over, but for Justin Steele to come back this season and show you that he's recovered from that injury and still pitching at a pretty high level. If he does that, I'd be willing to go ahead and lock that dude up, and then you have Horton, Cabrera, and Justin Steele locked up for the foreseeable future and for this window that I'm talking about from now until around 2030, 2031, that I think this core can compete. So a lot of interesting names if the Cubs are still looking to extend some contracts and lock this core up for the duration of this window that they're in right now. I'd love to hear what Michael Cerami thinks of all this. He covers the Cubs, obviously, for Bleacher Nation, and he'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, next right here on Score Evenings on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Kikuchi ready for the 1-2. Line drive, left center field, base hit toward the gap. It's going to go all the way to the wall. Racing toward third is Amaya. He's getting the green light. Here comes the relay to the plate. The throw is going to be in. Not in time. It might be challenged. A head first slide by Amaya. He's a little bit shaken up. shaking his left hand. It's an RBI double for Nico Horner. Let's see if that play is challenged by the Angels. It might be.
That highlight heard right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score. You're home for Cubs baseball. And tomorrow afternoon, the Cubs are on the road to take on the Guardians. Pre-game coverage begins at 2:35 with first pitch at 3:10 in crystal clear FM quality on 104.3 The Score and the Northwestern Medicine Cubs Radio Network. Joining me now on the guest hotline to talk some Cubs, he covers those Cubs for Bleacher Nation. Pleasure to welcome in Michael Cirami. Michael, how are you this evening, my man?
Good. Thanks for having me. Always better to have an off day after a win.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot better to sit in that win than it would be to sit in an L today, Michael. Let me just start off with the two questions, one at a time, that I started the show with, asking Score listeners. One, what, if you can say there's anything you know about the Cubs after just 1 week of baseball, what do you know about the Cubs after 1 week of baseball?
Ooh, that's a nice, interesting question. I think I know that this lineup is deep and deeper than most years. They're playing without their, you know, arguably their top hitter in Seiya Suzuki right now, but they're still able to run out, you know, 1 through 8 at least of guys that you want to see up every day. And that's a lot more than a lot of teams can say.
See, I was the offense I'm still not sure about, Michael, after the inconsistency of them post All-Star break last year. Like, I'm pretty sure what you're saying is right, and I agree with you that on paper it looks deeper than what we saw last year. I just need to see them do it before I can say it. The one thing I said I know about the Cubs after 1 week is this team can pitch. I said, like, if there's anything you know after 1 week, it's something you probably were pretty sure of, and then they came out and did it, and you're like, yeah, all right, cool. I was right. They can do that. I think that this team is gonna be one of the top pitching teams in baseball all season long, and I think the first week gave us a little taste of that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you couldn't imagine better starts for Ever Cabrera or Cade Horton, who are the two guys that are going to lead this team to, you know, the promised land. If that's where it's going, they're going to be the guys to lead it. Now the question marks are pretty much everybody else, right? But Jameson Taillon was all right. Matthew Boyd had a rough first start, but he also got 20 whiffs in that game and 7 strikeouts, and then followed that up with another 20 whiffs and 10 Ks in his second start. And Shota Imanaga, you know, he did give up the big 3-run homer, but the wind was blowing and he has looked a little bit better than he did at the end of last season. So there's definitely a lot of pitching in the starting rotation, and that's all without mentioning Justin Steele or Javier Saad or Colin Ray, all guys who could step in when needed or when healthy. And, you know, I like the bullpen mix. I don't think anyone who's watched baseball expects the group that is there right now to be the same 8 guys at the end of the season. It just doesn't work that way. But right, they have a lot of veterans. They have a lot of, high-octane stuff that they've been missing in years past. So I don't disagree with you that they can pitch. I just think that I like when I look around the diamond and then I look up and down the lineup, especially when Suzuki is back, you get to 7, 8, 9 and you're like, man, I'll see what Moises Ballesteros has, or, you know, like Dan Gustafson as our 8 hitter. That's not that bad. That's a pretty good day if he's your 8 hitter, you know? So I don't know. I'm feeling good about the position players too.
Despite what preseason predictions and projections said, Michael, the other thing I said, and I was saying this before the season started, is people are high or higher than they've been in some years on the Reds and the Pirates and think they could make some noise in this division. I saw a lot of projections that had the Pirates finishing second in the division to the Cubs. The Brewers are the team that the Cubs are going to have to contend with this year. You agree with that or not?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Listen, the division looks a little different than it has in recent years. For one, the Cardinals are a total non-factor, and I don't think I'm not as much as I, you know, despise the organization just as a fan. It's not saying anything that they wouldn't say. They are purposely trying to be bad this year. The Reds have some young talent. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The Pirates have Paul Skeens and now Connor Griffin, who is one of the best young players in baseball. So you can't just entirely count them out, because if one or two guys clicks, well, they might have some real, you know, impact. But the Brewers, I think, are still the team to beat. It doesn't matter. We've all learned this lesson the hard way. a thousand times over. They lose Josh Hader. They lose Devin Williams. They lose David Stearns, Fred Council, Freddie Peralta, Willie Adames, Corbin Burns. It does not seem to matter. They just keep finding ways to succeed. And until and they got off to a hot start this year already. So until they, you know, fade away, I'm going to be worried about them. And honestly, the Cubs had a pretty big lead earlier in the year last year, and then the Brewers popped off that 14-game winning streak. So, you know, you just can't count them out. So they are definitely the number one team to watch. But I do think the Reds and the Pirates are going to be more competitive than they have been in the recent past.
Talking with Michael Cirami of Bleacher Nation here on Score Evenings with me, your host, Rami Makhlouf, on a Thursday night. The other question I asked to start off the show is, now that you got PCA and Nico Horner locked in, who's your next most likely candidate, would you say, for an extension and to be sort of locked into this Cubs core for the next few years to come?
I've been getting this question a lot lately, and there's kind of two ways to think about it. There's all the guys that are outgoing free agents, and I think the two that are most likely to be approached by the Cubs at some point would be Ian Happ or Seiya Suzuki, especially because the Cubs traded away Owen Casey. They don't have Kyle Tucker anymore. Kevin Alcantara, their AAA outfielder, who's sort of a little bit past his prospect height, but still has plenty of upside and could be a contributor and a nice guy. There's just not a lot of options in free agency. So looking to retain one of Ian Happ or Seiya Suzuki with potentially Matt Shaw, who's been squeezed out of the midfield position, being the other corner outfielder, is one path the Cubs can go. But it's almost just as likely that they go to look to do an extension with one of their other young players, not to the extent maybe that PCA got. I don't think that that's really going to be on the table for anyone other than maybe Cade Horton. But you can imagine them looking at the upcoming CBA negotiations, expecting that, hey, maybe if the rules change, some contracts, especially extensions for younger guys that were signed before the new CBA, get grandfathered in under, you know, the existing rules, and you get a little bit of an advantage there. So it could be logical for someone like, you know, again, Cade Horton, Moises Ballesteros. I don't know, maybe you really like Daniel Plencia. I don't think I really see that, but honestly, the bottom line to your question is it's probably Happ or Suzuki because they're free agents at the end of the year.
Yeah, you got to bring one of those guys back, right? Because I was going through the free agent class for this coming offseason. I know we just started this season, but in talking and having this discussion about who you extend, you have to look to the future and what your other options are. And like the headliners in the outfield class for this free agency next year is Randy Arozarena, Trent Grisham, and Dalton Varsho. Are you upgrading by getting any of those guys?
Yeah.
Like you have to bring back one of, if not both, Seiya and Ian Happ if you're looking to not take a step back or downgrade at one of those corner outfield spots.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, I think Ian Happ and Seiya Suzuki might be the you know, the gems of the outfield free agent class. So I agree. And here's the thing. It's a little difficult because on the one hand, I tend to think that Seiya Suzuki, I know Seiya Suzuki is a better hitter than Ian Happ and has a little bit more offensive upside. Defensively, he's more limited, and he's also not a switch hitter, and he's also not a gold glover. Ian Happ is a gold glover switch hitter, gets on base, loves the city, really has a lot of roots here, wants to stay here. And I also think he probably will ultimately command a little bit less than, say, Suzuki. So in a lot of ways, I could see Happ making more sense for this Cubs team in this moment. Whether the Cubs feel the same way is to be determined. But here's the other thing. Both of these guys, you know, they left spring training without a deal, and now they're just months away from free agency. And they both have enough of a track record that if they were to have a good walk year this year, and that's well within reach for both, Happ has gotten off to a great start with three homers already. And again, he's on track to get his, I think, fifth consecutive gold glove. Seiya Suzuki, we know, has always been good. He started adding more power last year, over 30 home runs for the first time. And you will have the benefit of the automated balls and strike system, which we all sort of suspect will help him disproportionately because he's been the most affected batter by missed ball strike calls in the past. That's a true stat. Mm-hmm. So if either one of them have a great walk here, they're going to be in line for a huge payday precisely because what we're talking about, there's not a lot of other options. They are the default, they could become the default best free agent outfielder this winter. And then that changes the calculus a lot. So if the Cubs do want to get something done with either of them that leans more towards each of their inconsistent, you know, for Hap or injured for Suzuki pass, they might need to do that sooner than later. And I haven't really gotten the sense that that's being discussed at the moment.
Would you consider Matt Shaw a possibility at one of those corner outfield spots in the future if you see enough from him over the course of this season in that sort of super utility role, if he can show you enough at the plate and that he's figured out playing the outfield at the major league level and at one of the harder fields to play a corner outfield spot in Wrigley Field?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, I don't know how good defensively Matt Shaw will ultimately be in right field, but I do know that last year he picked up third base and became a Gold Glove nominated caliber player, which was incredible. And I would also say that early in right field this year at Wrigley, he's looked all right, not terrible, not fantastic. But this has been some of the windiest and worst conditions in the Wrigley Field outfield in memory. And I'm not saying that like, oh yeah, Wrigley's always windy, Chicago. No, I mean, it has been horrendously windy. And so for him to hold his own out there during this period and this first little dosage, and after seeing what he did at third base last year, I have faith that he can be a good defensive outfielder. I think the bigger question is he going to hit? It hasn't quite clicked yet. He's gotten some RBI opportunities and has come through a couple times this year, but it's still always been, you know, weaker contact on the ground. He needs to learn to elevate. He's got to destroy lefties a lot better than he has and get a little bit better against righties, of course, because that's the majority of the game. So maybe, I think ultimately what will happen, my best guess as of today, is that one of Ian Happ or Seiya Suzuki will be brought back, and whichever guy doesn't, Matt Shaw will probably play the outfield for, assuming Kevin Alcantara doesn't just explode at Triple-A this year.
One more for you, Michael Cirami, Bleacher Nation, my guest here on the Score Evening Show on a Thursday night. Again, just 1 week. What would you say is your the thing in the back of your mind that's a concern? Like, oh man, they might have to do something about this at some point this season.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have slight concerns, but you know, faith as a Cubs fan as always, that Shota Imanaga, you know, will continue to experience such dramatic, you know, home run tendencies, and without the benefit of so many of those being solo shots like they were in his first season, that he becomes borderline unstartable in October. I think he could be a serviceable starter throughout the year, but like we saw last year, and anyone that follows baseball knows, in the playoffs, any home run is pretty devastating with the way that opposing managers manage their bullpen now. You get a lead and then it's just a barrage of the best arms you have, the best matchups available with no regard for tomorrow, right? So that's sort of a concern of mine. And, you know, again, I do think that he probably came back from his injury a little soon last year. I think his velocity is up this year. He's worked on stuff. He says he feels better. We'll see. But that would be probably my one concern, is that you don't quite have that guy locked in, that guy penciled in for your playoff rotation like you think you do. And, you know, there's questions with when will Justin Steele return? How good will he be when he does return? What kind of innings limit will he be on? Matthew Boyd and Jameson Taillon are 35 years old and not necessarily going to repeat the success they had last year, at least in the first half. So there's just some questions like that. But again, the rotation has those two workhorses at the front with literal ace upside potential in Cabrera and Cade Horton. And that makes me feel a lot better. So those concerns are more, you know, luxurious concerns, let's say, to worry about your third, fourth, fifth playoff rotation starter. I think we got a long season ahead of us before we worry about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm in agreement with you. If Shota's the worst pitcher in your rotation, you got a pretty good rotation. And when Justin Steele comes back, who knows if he's even in your rotation? I said that was the last one. I lied. Let me bring it full circle. I threw out, assuming he comes back and looks like his old self again, I threw out Justin Steele as an extension candidate. If he shows you that he can come back from that injury and show himself pretty well, I think that's a guy you want to lock in and have be part of this core for the next 3-4 years.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. And I think actually, I know that Steele had been sort of, Steele and the Cubs had sort of broached the topic of an extension last spring, and nothing really came together. And that was right before his injury. And so that really throws a wrench into things because, you know, just understanding human nature, I'm sure Justin Steele's going, look, I want to pick back up where we were. And the Cubs are going, well, let's see how things go, right? I mean, he missed the whole year, pretty major surgery, and it's not the first surgery he's had. But, you know, they go out and they extend PCA. They go out and extend Nico Hoerner. These are guys who are going to effectively be lifelong Cubs. I mean, PCA was traded, acquired via trade, but well, he was a minor leaguer, so let's give
right.
him, we'll give him the hometown credit. And, you know, and these are really super popular Cubs, and Justin Steele is right there with them. He's one of the longest tenured Cubs. He loves being in Chicago. He loves this team, and he's a great, great pitcher when he's healthy. So I'm excited to get him back, and I hope that, you know, maybe the Cubs will explore that, but I just have a hard time seeing them agreeing on value, both sides, until we actually see Justin Steele on the field for, you know, 15, 20 starts the rest of the way this year and make sure he's back to the guy that we know he can be and has been in the past.
That's Michael Cirami, Bleacher Nation. Follow him on Twitter at Michael_Cirami and find all his thoughts on the Chicago Cubs and my guests for the last few minutes here on Score Evenings. Michael, always appreciate the time, man. Keep up the great work.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you next time.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.